Preface. It is often said that human beings are fallible, that, notwithstanding our best efforts, we are bound to make mistakes. One of the most dissonant experiences of my life has been to represent someone at trial who I'm sure, to the extent a fallible human being can be, is innocent, only to hear 12 jurors announce, beyond a reasonable doubt, that he or she is guilty. After 2 or 3 years of investigation, I often know more about the circumstances of the crime than anyone else, sometimes more than the person on trial, especially if he or she is innocent. Terrified at making a mistake that could cost someone his life, I try to investigate and analyze every angle. I write up a long document about each case, hundreds of pages, that takes account of every possible theory of guilt or innocence. Sometimes I'm confident that I know who really committed the murder. And yet 12 jurors file back into the courtroom and say that the wrong person is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Perhaps they even decide he should be executed. Such results are inevitable, no matter how vigorous the defense. But to say that all human endeavor is imperfect is merely a truism. If that were the sum of it, the question would be relatively simple. We know that mistakes are inevitable. So roughly what error rate are we willing to accept in light of the value of our goal? Despite precautions, argues the death penalty advocate Ernst Vandenhaag, nearly all human activities such as trucking, lighting or construction cost the lives of some innocent bystanders. We do not give up these activities because the advantages, moral or material, outweigh the unintended losses. Analogously, for those who think the death penalty just, miscarriages of justice are offset by the moral benefits and the usefulness of doing justice. Arguments may rage, particularly in academia, over what the benefits of the death penalty may be, but the debate obscures the real problem. Most of the lapses do not simply happen by accident. Rather, the system is structured in such a way that it inevitably fails. It is almost as if it were designed to fail. Even the most superficial analysis reveals how the legal procedure we use for sending people to prison is deeply flawed. Politicians and judges do not discuss the system's faults. Instead, they write and rewrite rules that are designed to convince us that the emperor before us is not naked after all. Lawyers and judges will tell you that it is better that 100 guilty people go free than that one innocent person should suffer imprisonment. Many of these jurists, however, do not translate this precept into practice. Of course, they might act differently if they themselves, or someone they knew and loved, were the innocent person being sent to prison. Suddenly, the debate would involve not a faceless statistic, but rather a human being, who has only one life, which is being wrenched from him for a crime he did not commit. But the rules are not written by people who expect to live by them. Jurists would also have us believe that the American legal process is the best in the world. Perhaps it is. Perhaps America delivers merely the least worst justice. But to cling to mediocrity because it is superior to catastrophe would be a sorry ambition. Most people would agree that the purpose of the legal system is to make society safer by ensuring that those who commit crimes are incapacitated and punished. So let us consider whether each actor in the legal system is contributing to this goal. Charles Darwin spoke of the survival of the fittest or the best adapted. In the legal system, we must examine whether each player is best adapted to his or her role, whether he or she brings the right talents to achieve the stated objective. For nearly 30 years, I have been representing defendants in capital cases mainly in the South, based first in Atlanta and then in New Orleans. My aim is to help provoke a debate that is, unfortunately, not currently taking place. We have to recognize our predicament before we can pose solutions. Two simple rules should guide all efforts toward reform. First, we must clearly identify where we are trying to go, and second, we must be sure that every incremental change that we make takes us closer to that destination rather than farther from it. It is emphatically not sufficient to try to sweep the problems under the carpet, as all three branches of the US government are wont to do. This book traces the life and death sentence of Krishna Chris Maharaj.